Welcome to Modern Practice. I'm your host, Dr. Tom Villanueva, and this episode is part two of a series of patient attitudes towards care as the pandemic stretches into its second year. Joining me again is Kelly Goodson to guide us in our discussion. Kelly, in our last episode, we began going through the survey questions you've asked a variety of patients and their family members. This survey is an excellent way to assess how patients and families are feeling about their care. The next few questions actually deal with preferences around healthcare settings. Can you take us through what you've learned there?
Yes. So we asked the patients if they needed to receive care today for a minor illness, what would be their preferred setting? And it was off the charts, telehealth or virtual visits.
Wow.
It wasn't even close. The second closest option that they selected was visiting a traditional doctor's office. So it goes to what we were just talking about as far as having that relationship and feeling safe. But telehealth was off the charts. The other options that they had, which barely were blips on our graphs, were in-person care in a retail setting or a freestanding urgent care setting. The last option we gave them was, I'm just going to wait to receive care till I feel safe. And again, those three options were barely blips on our graph. Telehealth and virtual visits were off the charts.
I think that speaks to what we're seeing, particularly around the country, where, quite frankly, virtual care and telehealth isn't going anywhere. But I believe it's really going back to what you've mentioned about relationships, more among patients who already have an established relationship with the provider.
Yes, exactly. And we also asked around specific settings for face-to-face visits, which included some of these same options, the freestanding urgent care, the retail clinic, physician's office, and the emergency department. And patients felt most safe given those settings. They felt most safe in a physician's office. So we see that trend through the questions that we're asking, that traditional doctor's office is the place that most patients want to receive care.
And the next question of the survey, I think it dealt with what's the biggest concern in getting care in the next 6 months?
Yes. And that by far was getting COVID. That was, again, sort of off the charts. We asked about accessibility of needed care, having that available care when needed. We let them say, I have no concerns if they wanted to select that. And then affordability of paying for out-of-pocket costs. But catching COVID-19 was by far consistently through all of our surveys, over 50% of the concern of patients. Interestingly, in December, the accessibility of needed care kind of jumped up a bit. It was holding steady around 20%, and it went up to 30% in our December survey. Those that had no concerns went down in December to less than 10%. So less than 10% of patients have no concern about accessing care.
Right.
So that's a high number that do have concerns. And then affordability of paying for healthcare right now is a low priority for people.
For many of us, we're hoping that the second half of this year starts the early post-pandemic era. So you also asked questions of what services they'd like to continue after the pandemic. And what do we learn from that?
We learned that patients want to access care through settings that minimize their risk to catching COVID-19. So you'll see that's a big theme here. We asked about telehealth, about drive-through services, about virtual scheduling and virtual check-in. We asked about home care. And again, we asked about face-to-face provider visits. All those settings received positive affirmation that patients want to see that continue. So the interesting thing is we wanted to dive into that a little bit more. So in our September and December surveys, we asked a sort of a sub-question, if you will, around virtual services and telehealth. So what we found out that was just striking is that patients and families want telehealth, but they want their existing provider to provide that for them as part of their care and the care pathways that they encounter. So specifically, we asked if they would rate their likelihood of seeking virtual care through certain formats. And we asked about a video visit with an existing provider. And then they were either very likely, somewhat likely, or not at all likely to want to seek care in that type of setting. So for a video visit with an existing provider, it was over 90% of patients said they were either very likely or somewhat likely to use that type of service, to seek care through that type of service. When we asked about a video visit with a new provider, it went way down. So those that were very likely or somewhat likely was in the 50 to 60% range. So it was very striking to see that difference.
Kelly, were there any generational differences in those answers?
Actually, no. It was pretty well across the board, whether it was age, gender, or location. We asked if they were in an urban area, suburban area, or rural area. Now, those that were older than 75 preferred the in-person physician office, but still fully 66% of them wanted to see virtual care continued. So what we see in our survey data and in talking with patients and families through our focus groups is that healthcare systems and providers that can figure out how to offer telehealth and virtual health services can create a real stickiness, a real loyalty with patients and families that will last far beyond the pandemic.
We addressed their concerns about elective procedures and preferences around care venues. The next part of the survey dealt with preventive screening. What did we learn from that?
So we asked about what would it take for a patient or family member to feel confident in safely receiving in-person preventative screenings such as a mammography or a colonoscopy. We gave them, five or six options. I won't read them all here to you, but it was really no contest. The patients and families we surveyed wanted to hear directly from their doctor about receiving preventative screenings. They wanted to understand and why they needed them now, what safety procedures were in place to ensure that they're not going to get COVID-19 while they're having a preventative screening. So the next closest choice was publicly available data. Just shows that patients and families really do their homework and they want to know why it's safe now to go ahead with these preventative screenings. And what really will help them, as I mentioned, is that direct outreach from their doctor. So Tom, really, to illustrate this, I actually have a personal experience with this. So my husband received his first colonoscopy a couple years ago and was scheduled in March of 2020 for a follow-up. And that's right when COVID was hitting. And he got a call as a reminder to come in for his colonoscopy. And he said, no, I really don't feel comfortable. I'd like to push it back. And he actually got a little scolded by the receptionist saying, why are you canceling? And she kind of scoffed when he said he didn't want to get COVID-19 and he wanted to reschedule. So he rescheduled out for May, and May comes along and still not comfortable. He gets the call, tells her he's still not comfortable, and they schedule him out to August. Then in August rolls around, again, still not comfortable. This time he gets a call from kind of the manager, if you will, the schedule manager, as we kind of interpreted it. And she sort of berated him a little bit about coming in to get his colonoscopy, that he needed it and he really needed to come in, but that she didn't mention any safety procedures. She didn't offer for him to talk to the doctor. She just wanted him to keep the appointment and come in. So by the end of that call, he said, you know what? I'm not rescheduling now. Just I'll call you when I'm ready. And he was very put back by the call. He felt like the doctor was just looking for money, that he didn't really care about him because he was just having these people call him and not fully even explaining what the safety procedures would be. And so I asked him, my poor husband, I use him as a guinea pig a lot when he accesses care. But I said to him, if the next call you get is from the doctor and he explained why you needed it and what the safety procedures were that they were doing, would that make you move forward? And he said, certainly would be better. And he felt like if he had that opportunity to talk to the doctor, yeah, he might move forward.
Okay, that's great insight. Kelly, we've reached the end of our program. Thanks again for taking the time to join us for the series. In the next episode, we'll continue our focus on patient and family concerns in this continued pandemic. And to our listeners, please join us for other Modern Practice podcasts on the Vizient Medical Leadership Channel. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. And please listen and subscribe to SG2 Perspectives, the podcast on the latest in healthcare strategy. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thanks for listening.